This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Minutes after the hour, Mike, we're not getting Mr. Dempsey here.
I'm calling.
Okay, I just shot him a text. You do have the right number, right?
I have the number that's in the book.
Okay, let me. I'm sharing it with you, and just going to make sure you have it. We'd love to get Dempsey on. He's a busy guy. Listen, with the news of the day today, maybe they've got other things that they have to get to. So Christopher Dempsey of Altitude TV, we'll see if we can get him on the program. But if you are, if you were living under a rock for the last few hours, we did get good news on Joker that it's going to be 4 weeks, at least 4 weeks. So we'll take it. At this point, you know, you're just kind of hopeful that it's just going to be the 4 weeks. He said, Chris, coming in with the text on our Kendall Hinton conversation. Just did some research. Kendall Hinton became the first non-quarterback to start the position since Tom Matty did so for the Baltimore Colts in 1965. Both have wristbands at the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, Northern New Mexico are now 3-7, getting a fought win, 104-100, following the CSU exhibition game. Thank you for that, he said, Chris. That, so with the Kendall Hinton thing, does he get to go and say I'm a Hall of Famer? He got a wristband in the Hall of Fame, so I would be saying that. Yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame because technically he is.
I mean, technically he is in the Hall of Fame, but he's not a Hall of Famer because he doesn't have that copper bust of his.
But he can say I'm in the Hall of Fame, and if you ask details, then he would have to give you details. But
I'm in the Hall of Fame, but I wasn't voted to be in the Hall of Fame because I don't have the stats for it.
So again, Shams posting out this morning that Nikola Jokic has been diagnosed with a hyperextension in his left knee and will miss at least 4 weeks. And he notes that that's an immense sigh of relief as tests show the three-time NBA MVP's knee ligaments are intact.
Maybe they should have the same doctor as the UNC Bears. He might come back early.
Oh, that's a good point, because Quinn Danker was supposed to be out for, like, at first I thought maybe all of it, and then I thought, well, he won't be back till February.
And then he said missed, April Fools.
He missed, like, two games. Quinn Danker missed, like, two games, Mike, after breaking his hand, and then he put up 33 points against the Colorado Buffaloes. That's cool. Just finished up, too, this morning, my two-man game podcast with the one and only Steve Smiley. And I did. Now, I'm not asking him about this in the season, Mike, but Mike, come on. If Tad Boyle calls it quits at the end of the season, see, you just got a new athletic director wanting to make some splashes. Does Steve Smiley get an interview at Colorado?
Yes, he does. He definitely does.
Even with this new AD that. Was it Fernando Lovo? Is it Fernando Lovo? Former Lobo?
I only remember the first name.
he was at New Mexico. He's got a really impressive resume, seriously. But is that kind of AD the kind of guy that would take a dip back into the local pool again? Because that's what CU did last time, right? It's been a long time since they hired a head coach, and that head coach came out of right here in Greeley. Greeley guy, Greeley Central legend. Then played college basketball for the Jayhawks, was pretty good. And then he took the UNC job, and they got better every year. And then he got his dream job, a chance to go be the head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. And listen, I like Tad. Tad, I didn't love his Super Bowl comment. You know, he said this is CSU Super Bowl when they played him. That's a CU thing to do, man. Like, that's what all the fan base says every time the football team plays each other. Almost kind of saying it was a way for CSU to be more motivated because that game meant more to them than CU. I just don't like that. Well, it was your Super Bowl, so it means more to you. That's a weird thing in my brain.
It was also UNC's Super Bowl, too.
Well, yeah. Is it both? Was it both their Super Bowls?
Yeah, they're 0-2 in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, UNC wants to beat CU. But UNC's Super Bowl is winning the Big Sky Conference. Because beating CU does nothing for them. It makes them look good, and it's great on the resume. But it does nothing for them in terms of getting into the big dance. They're not in the, you know, what their metrics say. And their quads and quad one, they're not in that. They simply have to win a tournament, a conference tournament in March when it comes down to it. So, yes, beating CU is historic. They haven't done it in almost 90 years, Michael. But it's not. Okay, try Mr. Dempsey now. We're calling him right now. We're getting him on the phone. He's ready to go for us, Mike. You must have been calling the wrong number. No, it's not Michael's fault. I think Michael should go, texter here says, I think Michael should go to Canton and visit the Hall of Fame. And while touring inside, he can text his crew, hey, I'm in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I think so.
I'll be in the Colorado Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
going to give him a hat.
Yeah, I'm sure. Joining me now, great friend of mine. It's been way too long. That is my fault. But he's a busy man. And Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, first off, let me just say this. You guys, the crew last night, obviously that's a difficult task. But I was glued to the TV, desperately hoping for somebody to give us an update on Joker. But you guys still have a job to do at the end of the day. You still got to tell us how the game went and what went down. And, man, to kind of refocus, hats off to you, man. This is why you're one of the best in the business.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's funny. I said to the producer, maybe after the third segment of the show, I said, man, this is a sad show.
Like speaking for all Nuggets fans. Like nothing was, you guys, I thought you handled it perfectly because everything you were saying is exactly what Nuggets fans were feeling.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was a great unknown at that point in time. And you just, you know, the thing about Nikola Jokic going down is that he never does. You know, he doesn't go down and stay down. He's just kind of, we just have gotten so used to him pretty much always being here. He's never played fewer than 69 games in a season in his career. And that was the lowest. I mean, everything else is 70 or above. And so we're just used to seeing him be on the court all the time. And if he's injured, maybe he misses a game or two here and there. But by and large, he's on the court. And so that was obviously a very concerning scene in Miami. Turns out that it's probably the best case scenario, given what we saw. And, so the Nuggets will just have to figure it out without him. But, yeah, it's an interesting show to do it that way because you got to do it on the fly. And we're all trying to really quickly gather your thoughts and then say the things that need to be said on TV and then also address the game to whatever. But he was the story of the game. You know, the Nuggets got blown out. And the story was the MVP, the three-time MVP, got hurt. And at that point, we didn't know the severity. So yeah, it's just it was definitely an interesting show for sure.
I was glued to it, man. Again, you know, I'm a diehard fan, so I'm watching as much Altitude as I possibly can. We did get good news, though. It sounds like, you know, it's not as bad. Like you mentioned, hyperextension in his left knee, gonna miss at least 4 weeks. That's obviously what you're on your side of things too, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt, and. You know, look, that means he misses all of January for sure. And, at that point, Brady, I wouldn't be surprised because once you get into February, you're talking about 5 games, I think, before the All-Star break.
Mm.
6 games before the All-Star break. So, do you rush him back for any of those, or do you just give him that and then the 8-day break for the All-Star and then bring him back after All-Star? So we'll see. I mean, it all depends on how quickly he heals and how he feels and how stable the knee is after 4 weeks. But certainly there's a universe out there where when he is evaluated, after 4 weeks, that then you have to have a little bit of ramp up time, and he's not going to be able to be conditioning, right? His condition is not going to be great because he hurt his leg. So you can't run and keep yourself in condition. So there's just a lot of steps that he's got to go through. But so I wouldn't be surprised to not see him until after the All-Star break. But if he's a quick healer and they can get him ramped up and ready to roll, then maybe just a couple of games prior to the All-Star break.
Well, the optimistic part of my brain was like, maybe he'll be back right at that four-week mark, and he's back Sunday, February 1st against Oklahoma City. But I like your idea probably better, to be safe.
Yeah, and I think you got to be cautious with these things. I mean, here's what I've learned, in just about 30 years of covering sports of all kinds, and that is you can't use one example and apply it to another necessarily. And it's to be all these athletes, their bodies are different. They respond to treatment different. They heal differently. So, the 4 week window, I know, from a medical standpoint of getting a person who has extended a knee back to a space that, that's the foundation timetable of things. But now you're dealing with an individual, and is that individual healing faster? Does he need more time? Are there conditioning issues? It's just kind of extra. So that's why it's very difficult for me. I usually try to never pinpoint anything because, we've seen people like Adrian Peterson come back from an ACL super fast and run for like 2,000 yards, and then we've seen others miss more than a year and not come back very well. So it just kind of depends. But I think in this case, it doesn't matter when you drop Nikola back into your team, because the minute that you put him back in, you instantly become, at worst, the second-best team in the NBA. And so what you need is to just be sure that when he comes back, that he can hit the ground running as much as possible, and that then it will be a mad dash to the end of the season, right? Because they're going to be up and down a little bit, obviously, without him. So it'll be a mad dash to finish with the highest seed that you can, and then you'll be instantly one of the most dangerous teams in the playoffs. Somebody is going to have to play the Nuggets in a space that they didn't think the Nuggets were going to be. And so it will be very interesting in the playoffs.
Well, and so as far as other injury updates, I mean, this has been a rough year. Take the Joker thing out, and you are already down three starters, Christian Brown going down, Aaron Gordon going down, then recently Cam Johnson. What about those guys? When can we expect all of those dudes to be back in the mix?
Well, I would say Christian Brown is the closest. We might even see Christian Brown somewhere on this road trip.
Nice.
So we'll start with him. He did a lot of good cutting and a lot of explosive work prior to the Miami Heat game. And if he feels as good as he looked to my eye, then I got to believe that, we'll see him in short order here. Not necessarily tomorrow, but, maybe soon after that. Aaron Gordon, I think, is just a little bit longer. When I watch him, the stuff that I see him do, he's moving around a little bit more. But his is a little bit more delicate situation because he's got hamstrings now on both legs, and he's got calves, and so they really have to be careful with Aaron. And he plays a style of basketball that puts a lot of stress and strain on those soft tissue muscles. And so, David Adelman seemed to think that he is close, but we'll see with him. And I, again, because he continues to have setbacks or re-injure or injure the other hamstring, you gotta really take it slow with Aaron to get him back into a space, because he's a very important player to your championship hopes. So for him, I'm not super sure. He is moving around a little bit better, but I will just be a little bit of a wait and see with Aaron Gordon. And then I think we're still a few weeks away from Cameron Johnson. I mean, his timetable was out pretty far. So we might not see him until around All-Star break either. So it's you're right. I mean, there's snake bitten, and then there's what the Nuggets are going through right now.
Right.
You know,
there's
so many. I've never seen four starters out of five on a basketball team be injured, and that's and not just out for a couple of games, but out for huge chunks of time, and that's what the Nuggets are dealing with. And so we'll see if they can keep themselves afloat.
Chris Dempsey joining us, Altitude TV. Last one for you, Chris. The Nuggets are 22-10 right now, and so we're saying, yeah, probably all of January, maybe even before right after the All-Star break, we see Joker back. What's a realistic hope or expectation? I mean, can this hope this team's floating with a 500 type record, or what should be a regular fan's expectations of this team while Joker's out?
So I think as long as they can get Christian and AG back, sooner than later, I would expect that this team can play 500 basketball at the very least until you get Cam and Joker back. Because there's still a really good players on this team and really very effective players with a super smart coach. And, you can see your way. Nothing has to be pretty on a night-to-night basis, right? So, in subsequent weeks, if I'm on here and we're like, whoa, the defense wasn't very good. Yeah, probably it's not going to be very good. Or, whoa, they had 2 4-minute droughts where they didn't score. Yep, that's probably going to happen as well. But at the end of the game, did you have the higher score? And if you did, then you just go, cool, and let's move on to the next one. And so, this team isn't devoid of talent, and so I would think that they could, keep themselves playing 500 basketball. If they do that, then their record will still be pretty good by the time everybody returns. And then they can go about the business of trying to run down whatever teams are ahead of them in the Western Conference standings, and then going into the playoffs as a full and hopefully healthy unit.
Well, we'll see, man. It's going to be an interesting start to the new year for the Denver Nuggets. Chris Dempsey, always appreciate you, my man. Okay, I texted you earlier, but I would love to keep doing this again, catch up with you more often, man. The whole show needs you, and you're like our Batman. We're throwing up the signal here. We need Chris Dempsey.
Put up a back signal. I'll be there.
We need the Batman on to talk about the Joker. How about that? That's what we need. All right, Chris. Hey, man. Great work again, as always. Happy New Year to you and your wonderful family, and we'll look to catch up with you in 2026.
You as well, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude Sports. 49 minutes after the hour. Here's a question. Does that disqualify Joker from a fourth MVP this year? We'll talk about it next.
Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado. Proud partner of UNC Athletics. Member FDIC.